the first chapter. Ask you to pray for us. It's still about my eyes. Still trying to adjust. And because of the difference with my eyes right now, I am having a little dizziness that trying to work through, and my eyes both seem to combat one another, and trying to get where I can focus like I need to focus. So if I say or read something a little wrong, just overlook me, and we'll get on through it. 1 Timothy, the first chapter, starting in verse 12. Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." That is the portion of our scripture the Lord has placed on my heart for today. Last Sunday, when Brother Shane was here with us, sharing with us about the work of the Gideons and all that they do in sending out the Word of God, Brother Shane shared several testimonies about people that had gotten saved by the grace of God. He mentioned people in various situations and how that the Lord spoke to them and changed their lives by the Word of God. As I thought about that after the service and even this week, I begin to think that we all have a story to tell. Ours may be quite different than many of those were. Some he talked about were deep in drugs, were in various kinds of sin. They described some that were in prison when God touched their heart. And maybe that's not our story, but our story is just as wonderful as what theirs were. And it caused me to think about the wondrous grace of God, how God touches hearts and lives and saves us by His power and grace. In our text, Paul is writing to Timothy, the young preacher at Ephesus, and he calls Timothy his own son in the faith. And as he writes to Timothy, Paul brings several things out that he wants to encourage Timothy about. He is telling Timothy about how stay true to the Lord, how to keep his mind and his eyes, thoughts on the things of God, about serving the Lord with all of his heart. But in the section of this chapter I've read, Paul deviates somewhat. Paul says, it's like he puts in a parenthesis. Paul takes just a little bit of time talking about how good God has been in his life. Paul talks about the mercy and the grace of God and what the Lord has been doing in his life and heart. As a matter of fact, I sense in these words that Paul has an amazement in his life. As I ponder these verses, as the Lord begins to speak to my heart, as I dug deeper in them, I begin to see a few things. I'd like to title today, I'm still amazed. I'm still amazed. I believe Paul shares a few things to Timothy. If he could say it in my words, Paul would say, Timothy, I'm still amazed at some things. You say, preacher, what kinds of things? Well, first of all, I'm still amazed that Jesus would come into this world to save sinners. Paul says that in verse 15. Paul says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says that I am amazed at the wondrous work of Christ coming into this world to save sinners. Paul reminds Timothy of the gracious sacrifice sacrifice of our Lord on behalf of all men. Paul that is amazed that Christ would leave all of heaven's glory and come to this earth to die on the cross that sinners might be saved. I thought about what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2. Paul says here that in Philippians about Christ who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Paul seems to say, you know, I said that to the church at Philippi, but now here I am, an older man, facing death before long. And Timothy, I'm still amazed. I'm still amazed that Jesus would lay aside the glory that he had with the Father, robe himself in human flesh, submit himself to shame and disgrace, suffering and dying on the cross for man's sins. Paul said, I'm amazed that Christ did that. I realize Christ could have just came and died for the wealthy, but he didn't. Christ could have changed him, only died for the Jews, but he didn't. Christ didn't just die for the worthy, because none of us were. Christ didn't come and die for the righteous, for we aren't. Christ didn't come and die for the deserving, for we all deserve hell. But God, who is rich in mercy, God that commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't have any grounds to boast anything apart from the salvation of Christ. I thank God that he came into this world, died on the Roman cross for our sins, the just for the unjust. Thank God. Paul's writing, he kind of gets captivated again. Paul said it's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Paul said, I'm telling you something that is worth believing, worthy of our acceptance, worthy of our us that Christ Jesus changed the world to save sinners. I'm still amazed at that. I'm still amazed that He would love this world so much that He would come and die for our sins. But then, secondly, Paul seems to take all of that a little farther. You see, I am still amazed that Jesus would save somebody like me. I'm still amazed that Jesus would save somebody like me. Paul said in that verse 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of who? But Paul said, I am Jesus. Paul said, I look at my life and I see in me nobody that deserves salvation. Back in verse 13, Paul said, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, that he said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I think about how God changed my life. He said, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. Paul said, I was one that hurt others. Paul, the day he got saved, was on the Damascus Road going to take with his hand letters that gave him authority to arrest Christians and often put them to death. But on the Damascus Road that day, everything changed in Paul's life. I'll be honest with you. Maybe we weren't that kind of a sinner. I was saved when I was 8 years old. As far as I know, I don't know that I'd ever uttered a curse word. I know I never drunk anything at hate. I never tried drugs. I never done any of those things. But I was still lost. I was a sinner on my way to hell. If I would have died without Christ at 8 years old, I'd have died and went to hell that day. But I'm still amazed. And on that Sunday morning, God, in looking down at all the millions and billions of people on the earth, on that Sunday morning, God looked down and saw a little 8-year-old boy that needed salvation, that needed Jesus, and he passed by Poplar Springs Baptist Church. And he walked in and he stopped in my pew, touched my heart, and drew me to an altar of prayer. And there I gave my heart and life unto him. from your experience, but I'm still amazed that God would love somebody like me and save me by His grace. I thank God. Paul said here that He gave mercy. He said, I obtained mercy. And then he said, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. Paul uses the word mercy. I know you've always heard it. But the idea of mercy is compassion. God not giving us what we deserved. That's mercy. I deserved hell. I was a lost sinner. But God showed mercy. I obtained mercy. And God in grace saved me and changed my life. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. I want to tell you, I didn't deserve salvation. I didn't deserve being one of His children. I didn't deserve being a part of His family. But God in mercy and grace changed my life. I'm still amazed at that. I think about where I've been in life down through the years. I think about God's grace that's been exceeding abundant in my life. You see, God had grace in saving me. But God's grace all the days of my life has been exceeding abundant keeping me. God keeps us. You know it. I've often said it as my favorite verse where Lamentations 3:22, he says, Jeremiah says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I want to tell you, every day that I crawled out of bed, God's been merciful and gracious unto me. God's grace overflowing. Paul said in Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, the grace of God did much more abound. I believe he's not only talking about salvation, but always and every day. The idea of that verse is this. Where sin is in abundance, God's grace is there in superabundance, and then much more on top of that. I'm glad it's got much more grace. I look back in my life, and I told you at 8 years old I got saved. But since then, I've failed a whole lot. I've let the Lord down many a time. Said things I ought not say. Done things I ought not do. But God's had mercy. And God still had grace on my life. I thank Him and I praise Him. You see, God's grace just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming and coming on and on and on. ever been there. I know some of you have. But I've never been to see the Niagara Falls. There at the border of the U.S. and Canada. But the water flows over the falls constantly. They tell us that over those falls that 3,160 tons of water flows over the falls every second. Not every minute or hour, but every second, 3,160 tons of water. That comes out to 758,400 gallons of water every second. But you know, it just keeps on flowing over. They say that that is enough power generated by the Niagara Falls that somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 million kilowatts. They say that that can simultaneously give power, meet the demands, 3 million homes constantly. Preacher, why did you tell us all that? Because that's a drop in the bucket compared to the grace of God. I want to tell you, God has grace on top of grace on top of grace on top of grace for our lives. He never runs short. He never runs out. He's never at a loss. But God's grace is exceeding abundant with faith and love. Christ Jesus. You see, that's grace to save. That's grace to keep. That's grace to live. That's grace to overcome. Grace to face sickness. Grace to face sorrows. Grace to face sadness. Grace to face disappointment. Grace to face life, and yes, even grace to face death. God's got grace on top of grace. Paul seems to be saying, you know, the more I think about the grace of God toward me, I'm still amazed that God would save someone like me. Paul said he saw himself as the chief of sinners. The chief of sinners. But then one last thought, and I'm done. I'm still amazed that Jesus would use someone like me in His service. Look at verse 12. Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul said, I think about where I'm at, where the Lord has placed me to serve Him and honor Him. Paul said, I thank God that He counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Paul's idea is not that he considered himself, God considered him faithful because in himself he was faithful. That in the idea. But he said, the Lord considered me faithful because He saw something in me. And He knew that I would serve Him faithfully. I don't know what all the Lord may have seen in me. I don't know what it is the Lord saw about me that said, you know, I want to use him. I'll be honest with you, I feel the least of the least when it comes to being a preacher or a pastor. I feel so weak and so small. I remember I was preaching one time in West Lenore when Brother James Lockie was the pastor there. I remember preaching and I made the statement. And I said, I know that I'll never pastor a church the size of West Lenore. I never will. I knew that in my heart. But I heard about preachers telling one time he had gone over into the middle of the country where they have big, massive fields for farming. And he said, as I passed through, I saw these great big tractors out in that field, just monster-sized tractors, plowing those fields. But he said, you know, they couldn't get the corners. And so they used little tractors in the corners to get the corners of those big fields. I remember when I heard that, I thought, Lord, if I could just plow a little corner somewhere, I'll be happy. Just to serve and honor you. I look at my life and I say, Lord, I think of great men that you've used like Abraham and Moses and Joshua and David and Solomon and Jeremiah and Isaiah, John the Baptist. I think about great men and women that God has used down through the years. And I say, God, why would you use somebody like me? And I don't know why. But I thank God today that it's somewhere along the line saw something in me and said, I'll use you. I'll use you. There's a little group of folk called St. John Baptist Church. It's not a great big crowd in number. But I'm going to put you there and I want you to serve me. I'm still amazed that God would do something like that for me. I'm still amazed that He would love me in such a way that He'd make me a part of His family. Save me by His amazing grace. Put me in His service to serve and honor Him. Do you ever stop and think about how amazing it is just where you are and how the Lord used you in your life? As I was studying this, I thought about Tiffany and Darnell teaching those little ones downstairs on Sunday mornings. A lot of times, probably just one or two. But I thank God the Lord recognizes that faithful work. Class may never get above a couple or three or so. But I'm glad that God looks on and says, you're doing that for me. You're doing that for me. You say, preacher, my place isn't much, but God gave it to you. God put you there. Maybe you don't sing in the choir. Maybe you don't play an instrument. Maybe you don't teach a class or a lesson. But God's given you something to do for Him. He didn't have to, but He did. But He did. I say, give your best to Him. Paul said, I'm thankful that God saw something in me, counted me faithful, put me in the ministry. I'm still amazed today. My, how the Lord just touched my heart this week just to realize I still ought to be amazed at God's greatness and grace and love. That's the message of my heart. I don't know how it speaks to your heart today. Maybe the Lord is sending you a reminder just to say, hey, don't forget you're mine and I saved you and the price I paid for you. Give me your best. May not be the big notable place. May not be the one that has name and light. But I give you work to do and I just ask you to be faithful. Be faithful. Brother Kevin, would you give us a song? We're going to stand and sing. I don't know what need you may have in your heart. I don't know how the Lord may have spoken to you through this today. Like I said, maybe He's just given us a reminder how thankful we ought to be for His goodness on our life and on our hearts. Just stand to our feet. Just stand to our feet. While we sing, this altar's open. If there's a need in your heart, would you come?